This is The Qualified.
The Qualified.
The Qualified.
El Calificado.
The Qualified with Ryan Huff.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, remember not to breathe too heavily into the mic like last time.
That was definitely you.
Nonsense. All right, yes. Fake news. All right, here we go. Hey, what's going on, Qualified family? Hope you're having an amazing day as always, and welcome back to The Qualified, where we showcase God's goodness with the ultimate goal being to empower you to chase your potential and live a life that makes a positive impact. Y'all, my name is Ryan Huff. I am joined by my lovely, beautiful, amazing wife, Miss Tiffany. Say hello to me more.
Tiffany Huff.
Well, yeah, of course.
Hey, everyone.
Let's go. Y'all, we are super excited for today's episode. Before we get going to this podcast, I want to remind you guys what this podcast is all about. So I believe that we are all qualified to make a difference with this beautiful gift of life that we've been given. However, just because we're qualified doesn't mean we don't have to put in the work to make that difference into a reality, whether that be in your personal life, your finances, your business, your marriage, you know, physical body, whatever it is. You have to put in the work in order to get to where you want to be, in order to become the man or woman that God created you to be as well. Because remember, you're qualified for more, so you should never settle for less, right? And I also believe that whenever we are pursuing our potential, whenever we are chasing, working on living a life that is making a positive impact, that is about becoming the man or woman that God created us to be. So, like I said, you're qualified for more, so never settle for less. Y'all, before we get going to this episode, remind y'all this podcast is absolutely free. So if you get any value out of it, please let us know. Only thing we ask is that you share it out with at least one person. Let them know that you enjoyed it. Because we don't run ads on the show. But if we did, we would tell you about this amazing company we own called Qualified Apparel, where we feed families in America through selling apparel. And what's great about that is that every one item that we sell provides 10 meals for families in America. And we actually have a great Cyber Week sale going on, extended Cyber Week sale. We just have some overstock items that we're looking to get into awesome people's hands, awesome people's like yourselves, unqualified families' hands as well. And we're running $10 t-shirts and $20 sweaters and hoodies as well. We're literally shipping same day, if not within 24 hours. So that being said, anything you wanted to say before we pray anymore?
No, that was like not the best intro for me.
You did great. What are you talking about? You said it's Tiffany Huff.
You're all upbeat and I'm just like Tiffany Huff.
it's still early. We'll be fine. Yeah, all right. Okay. But anyways, let's open up with a quick word of prayer. And then we'll get into this conversation today. So, Father God, thank you so much for this amazing day. Lord, I pray blessings over this conversation. Lord, I pray blessings over my wife and I, that you give us the right words to say. Lord, I pray Exodus 4:12, that you would speak in and through us. And Lord, I pray that the amazing person on the other side of my voice is impacted today in a positive way, and that they're ultimately more inspired, more encouraged, and uplifted to start becoming the man or woman that you created them to become. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so today, if you saw the title of the episode, we kind of bounced off a couple ideas that the title might change, but basically we're talking about, did we wait to have sex before we got married? And getting juicy up in here on The Qualified, man. But what we're going to talk about before we answer that question, because there's a real short answer to that, but we wanted to kind of dive in more to my background, to Tiffany's background as well, to just kind of unpack a little bit, kind of share a little bit more about us and kind of why we've made the decisions that we've made, why we're living the life that we're living, and hopefully bring some pragmatic instructions, some wisdom to you guys, and just kind of go from there. So do you want to start us off anymore? I know you had a question that you wanted to ask.
I had a question I asked you earlier and you couldn't answer, but I think now you have your answer. So I think my question was, when did you decide that you wanted to wait until marriage? Because, you were born and like raised into a Christian family, going to church regularly. You went to Bible church. What was it? Like the kids, you go, that favorite thing you always, camp, Bible camp or something.
Oh, yeah. Summer camp.
And
Some of the best memories. I always reminisce on those. Those are some of the best. Well, not always, but whenever I do reminisce on them, they're some of the best memories of my childhood, for sure.
I know it. And that's why I'm like, I wonder, that question popped up to my mind. I'm like, well, when did you decide you wanted to wait until marriage? Did you know all along that, this is what I should do, and then I didn't do it, and then you're like, well, since I already had sex, like, doesn't matter, I'm just going to continue to have sex? Like, what happened there?
Well, I mean, So I remember you asked me that question. I was like, well, I mean, I never really decided more so. I think it was something that was more of a learned thing for me. I mean, I had some of the greatest parents in the world. You know, I love my mom and dad. Shout out to Charlie and Diane. And, hey. But anyway, so I mean, but to be fair to them, they weren't bad parents whatsoever. But one of the things they never really taught, at least I don't remember, maybe they did at a passing conversation, but like, well, they never really taught us about sex more so. Like, I literally thought at one point that you got a girl pregnant by kissing her on the lips, right? And and little did I know. Because I was looking on movies and I would always see them like, dang, how are all these people not getting pregnant? Because they're always kissing on each other and such. But then I realized, I'm like, you know, and if you kiss lip to lip, then you get pregnant is what I thought. But I'm on these movies, I'm like, well, they're kissing, you know, top lip to middle, you know, to in between and such. So that's why if they make that connection lip to lip, then they're going to get pregnant and such. But you know, little did I know it was not the case. And so, but for me, I mean, I don't really have a concrete answer when I decided. I think it was more of a later, honestly, like maybe several years ago that I finally got victory in that area. But what kind of led up to that was, I mean, I got unfortunately introduced to pornography when I was younger, at a younger age, and that more so opened my eyes, if you will, to the whole new world that you don't get a girl pregnant just through, mouth to mouth and such. So that was an unfortunate start. That was like, there was this guy that, you know, was at my birthday party back in, you know, years ago. I don't even remember how old I was, maybe 10, 11, 12, something like that. And this one kid that was there like, hey, go to this website. And we saw a dial up and such. It was slow internet.
I remember this.
And, you know, like, I don't know where those sounds came from anyways, but I don't know. But anyways, well, that's kind of where I was, you know, kind of introduced to what sex was, if you will. And then not the healthiest way to go about that for sure. And again, no fault of my parents. They just, for whatever reason, never had that conversation. And I don't fault them for that at all. I still had amazing mom and dad regardless. But I just didn't really know about it. And so I was introduced to sex through that. And basically going throughout the years, kept on looking at porn on a regular basis. And that basically led to, I remember my most, whenever I basically told you this after you asked me that question yesterday, and it led me to doing a purity thing at my church, because I was, you know, born and raised in church. That, you know, every Wednesday we're at church, every Sunday we're at church, sometimes on Saturdays too we're at church. And even if there happened to be a convention or something that was going on or a thing going on at church, we were there several times a week, if not the entire week at church. So I mean, like, there was no shortage of that. And because of that, there was no shortage of, hey, like, sex is not good. It's, you know, not good outside of the confines of marriage. It's to be enjoyed through God's purpose within the confines of a marriage covenant. Mm-hmm. You know, Hebrews 13:1 talks about, you know, keep the marriage bed pure. And so, like, I was raised knowing that, but, like, I remember we had a purity ring ceremony. Do you remember purity rings?
I've never had one, but sure. I remember those. Yeah.
Well, we had like a purity ring ceremony and, you know, I think my parents were there or something like that. And I'm not sure if I got a purity ring, but I basically made the commitment publicly that I was going to save myself until marriage and such. And I think,
how old are you?
I think that was probably 15, 16, something like that.
Gotcha.
And clearly the thing didn't do very good, because I think maybe the week after, I think within like a month's time, I lost my virginity to this girl. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I wasn't expecting. I remember, like, it's funny how so many parallels there are to the Bible and then to real life as well. Like, I remember Proverbs 7 talks about the guy who was basically asleep. I think it's the promiscuous woman. I forget what the parable is, but basically Solomon's witnessing this guy sneak around at night, and he goes by the doorway of her house, and he sees her dressed like a slut. Well, it doesn't say that, but dressed like a woman dressed like a prostitute and such. Mm-hmm. And as he intentionally goes there, she grabs him, she kisses him, they sneak around to go, you know, hey, my husband's not here, I'm going to do this. And so, but the girl that I ended up, you know, losing my virginity to, I remember clear as day, my mom and dad were going to work. This is before Ring doorbell too. So this is before, fortunately my ways
That's
were not
why
caught.
You didn't get caught.
Exactly. But like, and actually I think my mom, when my mom, because I know my mom listens to the podcast, this would be the first time that they'll hear about this, matter of fact. So,
oh boy, well, sorry, me mom. Too. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Basically what happened was I colluded with, I found her out. Sure. The first thing that she and I were doing, I mean, we were sending, like, you know, naked pictures to each other and such, and or maybe not naked, but she was sending stuff like that, but I wasn't. Yeah, you don't know any of this. Wow. I haven't told you this yet.
Wait a second. Well, I never knew this. You never told me.
Well,
this.
Here's the thing. It's like I hadn't really ever thought about this before. I just remember, you know, losing that. But going back on this, I'm saying all this to hopefully help someone. That's the kind of the
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, but like, I remember one day I just finally colluded, you know, finally just, you know, she and I colluded together. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, my brother's going to be, you know, gone at work. I knew exactly when he was leaving. I think he was working at Starbucks at the time. And so I invited her over. I, you know, drove over to the school so that, because it's before GPS too and such. Well, before we had it on like our phones and everything. And so, or maybe there was, I don't know. Anyways, but I met her at the school and then drove out, and ultimately we were watching a movie together and we ended up having sex. And it was just like, I remember after it happening, I went to go take a shower right after, because I knew that I was so ashamed. And I literally started bawling after she left. Wow. And she was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, she knew what she was doing too. I mean, she was more experienced than I was for sure.
Okay.
And like, not saying anything negative about her. It's just, that's where we were at that time in life. And it's just like, that's where I was. And so but that ultimately didn't stop there. It led to many other sexual encounters with different women over the years. And ultimately, but it was interesting. Like after every single one, I think what ended up happening ultimately is like after every single sexual encounter I had, I always felt terrible because I was also a Christian at the time. I was still proclaiming to be a Christian,
yeah.
And I was still getting into the word and still doing all these things, but mm-hmm. I would occasionally still look at porn, and I would occasionally still, you know, mess around with a woman who I know I shouldn't. And but what's interesting, the times whenever I didn't feel convicted afterwards were whenever I was not in the word. I remember in one in particular, there was a girl that I met who was not a Christian, and because of her non-Christian influence, I ended up not becoming, I ended up basically turning from my faith, questioning a lot of things, and not questioning it with a sense of wanting to know, but questioning it like, this isn't true, and why would I believe in this, and all kind of jazz.
Was she atheist, or she didn't?
She was more, for her, I feel like she was more of like new age, the thing is, what do you call it? She was into like, you know, what is it, the beginning yoga kind of stuff, but like the chakras and such. You have the seven chakras or 10 chakras that, like, you know, that picture of like red, yellow, blue, like
exactly
going down.
That's
what she was all into, and she had like stones all across her house, and like she was big into like incense and meditation, all kind of jazz. So she was not, she was a former Mormon actually.
Wow.
But I remember after sleeping with her, like I had no like remorse. I was like, oh, it's fine, whatever, you know. And like it was just like I was just numb to it, because I basically had seared my conscience in that regard. And the Holy Spirit was, there was no, you know, Holy Spirit talking to me anymore. I knew what deep down, of course I knew I was doing was wrong, but I was like, I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, whatever, man, this is fine. I'm attracted to this girl, you know, similar, just whatever.
Yeah.
And it literally wasn't until, fast forward several years, it wasn't until like 2018, whenever I was just at a low. I mean, I was fortunately got back on track with my relationship with God. And I certainly am not where I am today, but I was at a different spot, fortunately. I had this thing in my room that I've talked about before on the podcast, and it was this thing called, it says, be the man. And it says, it's six things. It says, be the man God will be well pleased with, your wife will be attracted to, your parents will be proud of, you want your children to emulate, who positively impacts the world and who never stops improving. And I would have that thing on my wall, and I would, every like just thing that I would do, I would just be consistently just like retarding the efforts to actually make any progress in that. And I remember one day, fast forward 2018, I just slept with another woman, and it's funny how interesting how lust lies to you,
yeah.
How the devil lies to you, because it's so true. It's like lust never satisfies. Like it's like a fire. You're always going to want more. You're always going to be wanting more. So it's any lie of the devil that says, well, you know, if you just found the right girl to sleep with, then you would be fine. If you just find that, like, no, like, bro, like lust never satisfies.
Yeah.
It's like, if anyone has an addiction, especially like a pornography addiction, you don't just stop at looking at regular porn. You ultimately end up going darker and darker and darker, mm-hmm. deeper and deeper and deeper into things that you never even would have thought that you would have started looking at. I mean, I can testify that myself. I mean, there's things that I'm ashamed that I would have even had the glimmer of wanting to look at, but because I was so steeped in it, and you keep on getting that high and that rush. I mean, there's science behind it, bro. Like literally the same chemical reactions in your brain, the same neural pathways in your brain, they're the same type
for pornography as they are with heroin. So it's like, that's wild, but that's by design. And, but it's like, anyways, but so because lust was never satisfying, I was just constantly looking. It didn't even matter. Like, I remember there was a point where, I remember hearing a podcast recently by our good friend, Frank Rich, and they were talking with this other gentleman who was talking about how, well, you know, in his mind, he was like, oh, you know, a lot of men are programmed to just be like, we want to sleep with everyone and such. I can understand how a guy could think that if you were undisciplined and didn't have any self-control, because just like Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 25 verse 28, it says a man without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. In other words, anything, he's assailable. Anything can come against, anything can come in and take him over. But if you have self-control, just like, I mean, I consider myself a pretty self-controlled guy nowadays, yes. But like, if I went back in the day, whenever I wasn't, because I had that desire and because it wasn't satiated and within a godly confine, I was wanting to have sex with everything. Like, there was, I can literally think back on these women that I would meet at Chili's. Like, I'd be, you know, waiting tables and such. And there was a girl who was nothing of what I would really want, but because she had boobs and because she had a vagina and, you know, was somewhat decent to look, I was like, hey, great, let's do it. And I would try, but to get my way in, didn't always work out that way. But at the same time, I was willing to do that. Why? Because I didn't have any self-control. I didn't have any discipline. And because I wasn't, you know, operating within God's biblical, you know, confines in that regard, or guidelines, I should say, I was willing to do whatever. And that's just not no way to live life, honestly, because what it ultimately would end up happening every time that I would go down that path, I feel terrible, wouldn't really do anything to fix it. And then I ultimately end up going deeper and deeper and deeper and was still looking at porn and everything like that. But it wasn't until 2018 when the Lord finally delivered me from that. And it was literally just I've talked about this so many times, but it was like, I was at a low moment. I just slept with this woman that I wasn't attracted to, but just was honestly just looking for her to fill a void, to fill that lust, you know, to feel that, get a release, if you will. And I remember just being like, Lord God, like, I can't get any victory in this area. And I think to answer your question, it's kind of a long drawn out way to answer your question, but it's like that basically at that moment, whenever God, you know, had another person reach out to me and say, hey, you know, Isaiah 43:19, can you not see I'm doing a new thing? I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. And also, you know, and speaking, you know, further down the road, which would be a precursor to you, which is never settle. And what I realized then, that's kind of when I had my desire. I'm like, all right, from that point was when I finally realized, all right, I'm not screwing around. I'm not doing anything. I'm not using my personality as a weapon anymore. I'm not going to manipulate women to get sex from them. I'm not going to, you know, find out a girl that, you know, likes me, and then I'm going to flirt with her, manipulate her, and get whatever I want from her sexually. Those days are done. And so it's like, that's kind of my, you know, I guess, you know, if you could use the word evolution, if you will, my growth, my growth path on that was from such a young age of basically getting not really a good, not a good example laid, having no really, having an understanding that was wrong to have sex before marriage, but not really having any desire to, want to actually practice that and live it out. And also really not having an understanding of as to why the Lord says, don't do this. You know, God's not saying it because he's a prude. God's not saying it because he's a, you know, this, I like to say, as a cosmic fun sucker, you know, God, that's not God, you know? Whenever a parent tells a child, a loving parent, and not, you know, if you've had, I mean, you can speak to this a little bit too. Like, you haven't had the greatest, you know, dad, you know, figure, you know, father figure in your life, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if you're someone that's listening to that who hasn't had the greatest of parents. But if you're someone who has had great parents, or if you're that person and you've seen examples of great parents, whenever you have a loving father or a loving mother and they tell their children not to do something, like, hey, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Hey, don't play in traffic unless you're having a bad day and they're annoying you. Hey, go play in traffic, you know? But just kidding. But seriously though, like, you tell them not to do those things. Why? It's not because you hate them. It's not because you're a prude. It's not because you want to steal their fun. No, it's because, like, you know, by them doing that, it's going to lead them to a destructive life. It's going to lead to consequences that ultimately, I mean, some of the, for instance, having sex out of marriage can lead to a consequence of what? Childbirth. Leading a consequent, not saying that childbirth is bad. Well, I'm going to circle back to all this, but like, or, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, obviously those are bad. Or like, you know, the things that you didn't anticipate having, you know, brokenheartedness, whatever have you, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever it comes to consequences that happen outside of the confines of the marriage covenant, of the marriage bed, that God lays out, of course, great things can come from that. Of course, you know, having a child and such, like I know gals that are single moms now and such that they love their child. They love it. But at the same time, and some of them have gone on to remarried and such. And just so you know as well, if you're a single mom or single dad listening to this, you are not damaged goods. Your story is not over. It doesn't matter. Like, I just recently heard this on a post of like someone that was dogging down on single parents and such, especially single moms in particular. I'm like, as if they're damaged goods. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, bro, like, I mean, that wasn't our story, but at the same time, it's like, dude, there are plenty of guys out there that are looking for that, but you have to be looking in the right places. You have to be, you know, making sure that you're putting, you know, portraying yourself out there in a way that someone would actually want to be with you in that regard as well. But having a child is not a downside. There's plenty of guys that I know, even guys that are not Christian men, that love, you know, that are with women right now that are single moms and they love the kids and such. So it's like, you're not damaged goods. Your story's not over. Keep your head up. God's got the right one for you. So seek it. Seek first the kingdom. Delight yourself in the Lord. And you're going to be taken care of. But it's like those consequences that we have as a result of, you know, sleeping around with someone we weren't in love with or weren't married to, more specifically, and then having a child out of wedlock isn't God's plan. Because ultimately, what, just statistically speaking, you know, whenever people have, you know, children out of wedlock, that is a, you know, whenever you're not doing that and you don't, and especially if a guy is not involved and he leaves, There's statistically speaking, you're more apt to live in poverty. You're more apt to go to those children are more apt to get in, you know, involved with the wrong people because they don't have a father figure at home and such. So it's like, but again, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation in itself, but it's like, anyways, that's just not the best way to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously life happens. I understand that. I am grateful to God that I did not have any children with any of the women that I slept with. But at the same time, if I had, well, that would have been my responsibility. I would need to own up to that and live up to that. But it's like, if we do things God's way, God has our best interests in mind. I mean, gosh, dude, he gave his whole life for you. And, you know, he sent his only begotten son for you because he loves you and he doesn't want you to go down that path. So it's like, please hear my heart and please hear my wife's heart as well. It's like, if you've already gone down this path, that's perfectly fine. I mean, there's repentance, there's forgiveness, and you can turn your life around and be all the better, all the wiser going forward. But like for me, like I wish I would have never had sex before marriage, honestly. Yeah. Like I wish I would have saved myself. I wish I would have demonstrated that self-control. Now, obviously, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, maybe change. Obviously, I would change the way I treated people because I treated a lot of people unfairly, in a way that was not becoming of a godly man for sure, but even just a decent man. But in the same regard, like I'm grateful that everything has happened because it, you know, it's ultimately led me to becoming the man I am today, which I'm happy about. Not, you know, obviously wanting to continue to moving forward and becoming a better man every day. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'm looking forward to the future ahead. And, you know, that's my, you know, story in a nutshell more. So that's kind of like where I decided. It was basically after all those years leading up to finally, you know, hitting a low and then deciding, all right, this is God, like, you know, your way is the way I need to be going. And that's, you know, I kind of started to go down that path more so.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I'm just trying to soak it all in because I've never heard half of the things that you said, but just seeing how much you've grown from then, it's incredible. So, like, God does, he's a redeemer and he will redeem your story, but you need to seek him, just like you said. Amen. And he's always there.
And that's another thing too, that we talked about. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel like they need to get clean before coming to God and such, but dude, like, God's the cleaner, man. He's waiting there.
Amen.
Just like the Bible talks about, I forget what verse, chapter and verse it is, but there's, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's in the Gospels, but it says, you know, I stand at, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And so God's only looking for you to allow him in, let him in.
That's,
you know,
so
you don't
powerful.
Have to get, you don't have to get clean first. You don't have to clean yourself up, get your life together. But all right, God, now use me. No, like, bro, like, you can literally be used exactly where you are, where your feet are. Just all you have to do is humble yourself. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, here I am, Lord, use me. And the rest will be history, man. You know, receive God into your heart. If you're listening to this podcast, there's actually an altar call at the end of the podcast too. So feel free to, you know, fast forward to that if you'd like. And then we'll go from there. But seriously, you don't have to get your life cleaned up. I didn't whenever, you know, my life turned around and, you know, and you didn't either. And, you know, neither will you listen to this. You don't have to, you know, get cleaned up before turning your life around. Just give it to God and everything else will come together.
Yeah. And I think that's so powerful, even when you said, like, the Lord is just like knocking there and he's just waiting for you. And we all come from different backgrounds and things that we've walked through, right? Like, you come from a different, like, completely different background than me, and we still came together with the same intentions to save ourselves. once, I mean, we both had have had sex before, but our heart and our mind was set on the Lord and His will for us.
Right.
So just that's just a pure example of how God works. Yeah. It's not our doing. We put in the work, obviously, but God is walking with us through it all.
100%. Never mm-hmm. leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, turning the question back on you, madame. Oh. What? So when did you kind of decide yourself to, you know, you wanted to wait to till marriage to have sex and all that? What is your story like? Go ahead.
Well,
tell the class.
It's cool being able to share this because most of the time, like, you know, I came to my faith like in 2020, end of 2019, 2020. And I kind of felt like very, I guess, hypocritical saying things to other people and giving them advice or telling them, no, like that, let me show you a different way to do this. Like read the word, because I've done things that I'm not proud of. So I felt like they're not going to take me seriously. They're going to be like, why am I going to listen to you? You've done all this. I know exactly what you've done.
Who are you to tell me, right?
Yeah. And especially when it comes to like my friends, like from Florida and stuff, and like my lifelong friends. But just a little recap, I guess, you know, I wasn't going to say this, but I am, because I feel like it will help someone on the other side. But just a little snippet, just like about me and my, like in my younger days, you know, I was, someone did do things to me when I was younger that shouldn't have been done to me in a sexual way. And that was my first exposure to something sexual without me knowing really what was going on, right? So during like sixth grade, I would say, is when everything kind of changed for me, when in a sexual aspect, like I started to wonder like how I can control my body, like what do I have bigger boobs? Do I need to get skinny? Like all these things started coming in my mind and since that time. And as I was growing up, I don't know, I had a boyfriend in like sixth grade through eighth grade, and he was an awesome boyfriend. He's a great guy, but I didn't even know what how to have a boyfriend. And I didn't even want to kiss him. I was hiding behind the lockers. Like I was running away from him basically, you know? That is so young to have a boyfriend, like really, okay?
That's what you do to me whenever I'm like, come here, girl.
It is. See, it's gone through me from childhood. But I would just run away from him because I didn't know what to do. And I didn't want to kiss anyone. Like he was my first kiss and it was so awkward. But then moving on from middle school to high school, you know, we broke up and I started to see a whole new world. Now,
a whole new
world. It was a whole new world. I had just.
Was it a new fantastic point of view?
Well, it was. Actually, you know what? I'm going to make it like, it's like a little deep, you know? My story is pretty deep.
You got that reference, though, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
Of course, I get you now.
Proceed.
But so going into high school, basically, I was. During middle school, I became anorexic, and during high school, I passed through that because I joined the dance team. My sister was in the dance team her freshman year. We're 16 months apart, and she's older. So
shout out to Tata.
Hey, Tata. So I was like, you know, I felt really cool because I'm like, I already know all like the big dogs, you know. I felt really, all right, I can do this. And so I was really confident going into high school, and as soon as I reached my freshman year, I mean, I remember going to the band room and seeing one of the girls on top of the other girl showing them like sex positions. I'm like, whoa, what is that? You know, I didn't know what is going on here. I was very innocent minded.
Sure.
Like in that way, like even though those things had happened to me, I was still very like innocent. And I was like, well, I don't know what that is, but okay. So, you know, going in into high school still, I started going to parties. Like my mom, I love my mom, but she's like more like the best friend, like, all right, okay, go out, you know, just be home by like 3 or call me, just make sure I know where you're at. Like, okay. And she was like a dance mom. She knew all the girls. She knew who we were with. She always wanted to make sure, but she rather her know where I'm at and have that trust with her. So she, I don't know. I felt like she had like a different way of parenting. Right. And so I was like, okay, well, it's okay for me to like go out and party and do things. Like I never was told to basically wait until you're married to have sex. I was never, I think I was very open with my mom though, like about sex and stuff after I began to learn things. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty open book. Like I'm, yeah, pretty open book with that stuff.
You?
Yeah.
No.
Say
it ain't everything. So.
So even in high school, I was just very open about that. So when I would go to parties.
Night and day, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when you and I were first talking, you would tell me all that. I'm like, wait, you, I'm sorry, what? What did you just say? You did, huh?
Yeah.
It's just true. Night and day differences with family and background, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yep. And so I would basically go to parties or to be guys there. I mean, back in the day, like in Tampa, I don't know about Texas, but you'd put on some, you know, some music that's secular music, and you would just, a guy would go against the wall and
yada, 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 yada,
and
yada,
yada. That famous TikTok video I made. But you would go against the wall, go up against a guy, and you just start, you know, moving your butt, you know? So
like how exactly? I'm sorry.
No, I'm not doing that. But that's how, like, you used to dance back in the day. It was just very sexual. It was very, you led by sex. Like, that's how it was. And I started to see these different things on how people would get a man and stuff like that. And I had a boyfriend in my freshman year, and I ended up breaking up with him. I wanted to go out with this guy since like middle school. So I finally got what I wanted, went out with him. He was a huge jerk. And I started going out with this other guy, which I won't name, but anybody who listens to this who knows me will know exactly who I'm talking about. And I've forgiven him, but there's a lot of things that I've had to forgive, because this is the guy that led me to a lot of pursuing, I don't know, I guess my body and my image as to gain him, because he would cheat on me. He would talk to other girls.
You were never good enough.
I was never good enough. And I was pretty popular. I mean, I was pretty popular in high school, I would say.
Oh, okay.
I would say so, because being part of the dance team, it's not, I wouldn't even say popular. I just loved everyone. And I loved talking to everyone. I feel like I was friends with everyone except the girls that my ex would like cheat on me with or talk to, and I knew they had something. So your girl would try to pick up fights, you know, and I would,
I've heard the stories.
Yeah. So, but then I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like, I need to be more sexual, or have to like do something with this guy. And I haven't had sex before, but I was going to parties. I was being exposed to all these things. And then my junior year is, I remember I was going to his prom. And that's my sister's prom, twins prom. Like, all my friends were like a year class above me. And I went to prom, but the night before, my mom said I couldn't sleep over because my ex and I got in a huge fight, and it was bad. It was ugly. And my mom said, okay, you're not staying the night. I said, I was so mad. I was like, okay, that's fine. So we'll get to prom. I'll go to the hotel early. And then, you know, tonight's the night. You know, I was just like, tonight's the night I'm going to have sex with him. And that was a night that I had sex with him. So I lost my virginity in my junior year. And right after that, he had slept with someone else that same night. So, and I found that out, but I was still having this soul tie connection with this man because he was my first everything. And so it just,
you didn't really know that term soul tie until later on, more so.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know what that was, but I felt like I was obsessed with him. I felt this connection. So like, if you're in that position right now, or if you're in high school, or you're in college and you're just like starting your freshman year of college, or you're just in that sense, like you just feel just attached to someone, just make sure like you're realizing the things that you've done maybe to get to that point. If they're not treating you right and stuff, and you're still going after them, why?
Yeah, know your. I think a lot of that is like knowing your value, knowing your worth, especially for a young lady. Because if you know your value, know your worth. If a young man or young woman, for that matter, isn't showing you that, or isn't, you know, pursuing, or more so, I was to say, for it from a guy to a woman's perspective, if a guy isn't showing you, young ladies, like you're the fact that you're worthy and the fact that you are valuable, and treating you as such, like, you know, treating you like a woman, making sure he's talking to you as a woman, treating you like a queen, more so, if they're not doing that, and all they're really pursuing you for is just to get between your legs, and they're not respectful of boundaries, that ain't the right guy for you. And like for me, I don't know. I know a lot of people probably don't have this sort of the same sentiment, but like I feel like dating, with the exception of a handful of people in high school, is pointless. But just because the majority of the relationships don't last. Now there are of course exceptions.
All my friends,
of course, like, there are exceptions, because I've officiated many weddings where people have dated throughout high school, but a majority of the time that doesn't work out. But then again, you know, I would just say if you are going to choose to date during high school, just try to use as much wisdom as you can in high school. I know that's going to be difficult, because I remember just speaking for myself, looking back as a high school kid, I was an idiot. It's like, just use as much wisdom as you can, man. And just like be very, you know, diligent about having boundaries and self-control. And so you don't get yourself in positions where you're going to do something you're going to regret. And then, you know, and marry as quickly as you can too. I mean, I know some people don't like that, but it's like back in the day, that's what they did, bro. Like they were married right out of high school and such, or even in high school and such.
Kids, like there's some YouTubers on there who are young and they're Christians and they waited until they were married. But it also like comes down to like where I'm getting at is your past, like, and how you're raised, because a lot of people don't know these
things.
That's
fair. That's true.
You know, and
a lot of it comes down to parenting and such, and having good examples and foundation and all that kind of jazz.
Like, who's your foundation?
Yeah.
Like at that point, I didn't even know who my foundation was. I believed in Christ, but I was raised Catholic, and I wasn't going to church, but like, I know I'd post like Joel Osteen, but then I would go to a party the next day. So it wasn't like I was in the Word. I didn't even know half the stuff I know now, really. I didn't know anything.
You were a Christian, but you didn't really know how to live that out more so.
Yeah,
it was just
wasn't
more of a title.
Even a Christian. Right. Well,
yeah, for sure.
But exactly. Right. I was just living out a life just claiming I was Catholic, but there was no foundation there. There was no fruit there. And then once I left high school and graduated, you know, that relationship ended with my ex, and he had moved on, but still had me wrapped around his finger for like another decade. And I still, after when I got into college, I went to community college first because I wanted to stay with my grandparents. And when I went to community college, I mean, I was still going out partying with people from high school. And I mean, I would go do things, sneak around. And I mean, it was just a lot of like, okay, I'm going to go sleep with this guy, sneak into his place, and then come back outside. Hey, can you come pick me up? Because I'm sneaking out of their place and stuff. So it would be a constant thing of like going out, partying. It didn't stop. And at one point it got real, like got to the worst like point of my life where I was just like, okay, I was drinking. I was just doing so much until like, I was like, I didn't know when I needed to stop. I knew I needed to stop when I started going to the gym. Shout out to BodFit, because that changed my life. And that gym changed my life because I started to be more consistent and wise in what I was eating. I got addicted to something else other than sex and drinking. I got addicted to the gym. I got addicted to a healthy lifestyle. I got addicted to being the tiniest I could ever be, which was also not a healthy addiction, but it was a better to me than going out and drinking and having sex. And needless to say, like, I still went on and did that probably like what, before 2020, like 2018, 2019 was probably when I was going out, and I would lead with sex still. Like, I would talk and I would talk to men, and I would just look at them and I would just flirt with them. Like,
it was a game.
It was a game to me. I was like, I'm going to get what I want, and I don't care who you're with.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, okay, so I'm going to get him. And tonight at the club, I really want that guy. And then I want to go home with this guy. And then my friends, like, you know, when I was hanging out with, you know, the girls, they all had somebody with them and I didn't. So I was like, well, I need to find someone. I want that too. You know, and it wasn't for like a long-term relationship, more so it was just to get myself satisfied as well. Yeah, and
just for the night.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that would happen, I don't know if that's just a thing with women, but once I started to chase someone and they stopped the pursuit of me, I didn't want that. I wanted to continue chasing them because I want them to keep wanting me. Hmm. It was like a thing that I'm like, no, you're going to accept me, so you're not going to reject me. Like, I'm still going to like pursue you, and I'm going to pursue you sexually because I know that's the easiest way to get to you. Hmm. And so it was just a constant like thing with me. And right. And that stopped ultimately when I got baptized in 2021. that's when it stopped, because it didn't stop when I knew the Lord, started to get to know the Lord in 2020. Like, even in 2019 with my ex, I did stuff that I would, it was, the whole relationship with my ex was like sex. Like, I would go, I would stay at his place. It didn't matter. And like, that's the first thing he would do. That's all he'd think about. And like, that's what I came consumed with. And I didn't know any better. Like, I did, but I didn't know any better, because that's what I knew about our relationship. It was just sex. And I knew I could keep him because of sex. And that's what we did. Even when we broke up, I wanted to meet with him so badly. And when I did, we went back to his place, and I knew I wasn't supposed to. He knew he wasn't supposed to. And I'm the one that pushed him to have sex with me that night. And that was like the last night. And he goes, I don't feel like that was right. I'm like, I didn't either. And it was just done. And so once that happened, that's when I came to the Lord, you know. And in 2021, I said, when I baptized myself in this water, I wasn't planning to baptize myself, like go in the water and stuff. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. And when I did, I had to work right after the Super Bowl, like on promos. So I went with my hair wet and everything. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. You went right after you got baptized to go work a promo?
Yep. It was a long day too, because it was Super Bowl Sunday, and I had to go from one place to another place to another place with all these bags, a bunch of drunk people, you know, doing the promos. And I got baptized, and I said, okay, Lord, this is me cleansing myself from any and every man who's ever touched my body from when I was younger to now. And like, I want to save myself until marriage for that next person. And that was my like image of being renewed from everything that's ever happened to me. And that's when I was like, okay, whoever I'm with next, I want to wait. And that's like the last podcast, if you haven't listened to it, the things that I told the men that I was talking to, like I made it clear to them that I wanted to wait until marriage. And the reason I felt comfortable saying that to them was because they claimed to be a Christian, you know?
Yeah.
But
wow, that's awesome. Yeah. See, we both learned something new about
this. I know. You didn't know that? I feel like I told you.
I don't think I know about like the whenever you got baptized and then went to go work a promo. That was new.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that.
Thank you.
That was neat, Mimo. but where do we go from here? Just talk
well,
about.
Just how when we, okay, so now when we came together and we left off on the last podcast before when I got, no, when did we leave? Where did we leave off of the podcast? Oh, me going to Austin. And so when we first met each other in person,
yeah, that's right.
That is where we left off. So I think that's a big moment for us, because we were apart this whole time for like 2.5 months. We were apart and we didn't meet each other in person until that very moment.
Yeah,
and
since we started talking in November and then officially met in January. Yeah.
Yes. And that's when I flew to Austin. Just a little recap. We started talking November 7th. We met in person January 27th of the following year. And now I had booked my hotel room in a different hotel room, and you had your hotel room.
Mind you, I didn't realize that you were coming to, you know, surprise me in Austin and such. And I this is a little side note. For me, I'm a single guy at the time. I mean, obviously you and I were talking, so it's kind of like we were dating already, but I was still, you know, single guy and was like, hey, I'm just looking to save some money. I don't need anything fancy. So I found this place in Austin. I think it was like the Capitol Inn or something like that.
It was awful.
It was nice. What are you talking about?
It was so bad.
No, it was not. It was so bad. It was good.
No, it was a 1-star hotel.
Miss Bougie. No,
no.
It was 2-star.
2-star hotel. Yeah. I'm not bougie, but there's one thing that I don't like cockroaches. I don't like the bugs. I don't like
cockroaches.
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 No, there's no in there. It's cockroach.
Cockroach.
There's no cockroach. You know, was it? Is a Spanish song? Cucaracha. Yeah, it's not a Spanish song. Get out of here. But no. So I mean, there was no cockroaches in there. What are you talking about?
There was a little cockroach in the bathroom.
Was there really?
Yes.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. Well, in my room there wasn't. So, but I remember booking my room, and you were like, "Are you sure you want to stay at this place?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah. Before I flew over there, I'm like, "Are you sure?"
Because unbeknownst to me, you were staying in the same hotel, and just obviously in a different room and such. But whenever you got there, of course, I was completely surprised because I wasn't expecting you to be there.
You laid one on me.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that either. But I remember my best friend Craig was talking about. Mr. Richard, if you will, was talking about you know, hey, it's going to be a big weekend. Make sure you, you know, just make sure you, you know, protect yourself, guard yourself and such. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not meeting any women down there and such. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I, you know, whatever.
Of course.
And, but then, you know, met you. And of course that was different, but like we, man, we definitely could have done better in Austin. Cause remember that night, you were supposed to stay in your room. And, but then I was like, hey, let's watch a movie.
Just tell them the movie that we're watching.
Into it. I said, ironically, the movie that we were watching whenever we started fooling around was The Shack, ironically enough, because you were trying to shack up with me.
No, you were trying to shack up with me, telling me, lay down here. We can lay down on the bed.
Yeah, I know. It
the
was
things
really
that
stupid.
We talked about, though, like before all this, we had spoken
about. We already talked about boundaries.
Yeah. Even the relationship series you did, I remember helping you, like when I went out, I would go on my walks on Causeway and we'd just take notes and you'd go do the podcast.
And I think the interesting thing about that relationship series, which all the stuff I spoke on there was truthful and was great advice, but it's like, for me, since I hadn't had a relationship in so long, it's like, I didn't practically the benefit of hindsight, I should have better practically laid out boundaries with that and systems to put in place that would have prevented us from doing anything and such. Like I should have, all right, whenever you were staying at the same hotel, okay, well you can't come in my room and like we can't be in each other's rooms by ourselves. We have to
We spoke about those
things. We did, but like we should have, you know, been more, I guess a better thing is we should have been better disciplined at that.
I think it was just better discipline.
Yeah.
And like we're not perfect, right? Yeah, we're imperfect. And temptation comes in most like when you can't have something, right? Like we knew we couldn't do it. And now we're finally seeing each other and we're like, whoa, there's a bed.
Yeah.
We can get cozy. We can do this. And we got a little too cozy. And then we did things that we shouldn't have done. But what led up to that was what I was going to say when we used to talk on the phone at night. We used to like...
So I had never,
I don't think I ever did that before.
We had phone. I mean, just if you have kids, yeah, I mean, you've probably already gotten this far, but if you have kids, probably turn it off right now and then turn it right back on. I mean, it's not that terrible. We just had phone sex more so over that, which I'd never done.
I never
and
done that either.
I just felt terrible the day after and such.
Awful. I always felt gross.
And then especially whenever we messed around. Well, fortunately, we did not have sex before we got married, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like we could have done so much better at that. And it's just like a part of it, is obviously having boundaries, but the second part is being willing to be disciplined enough to abide by those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we just,
and having people to help like hold you accountable, because I remember that first night, well, second or first night when we watched The Shack, and
I think it was like the first night.
And then you went to call Craig and...
Well, because you were about to leave.
Because we messed around and I didn't want to do that. And I felt like I was, again, like, dang, like, why? Like, not again. Like, I thought this was different. Why couldn't I control myself? Because it was just as much me as you.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point. You said, like, not this again more. So basically thinking that some guy's a Christian and then not interested.
And not leading that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I should have been a better example of that. That was my fault as well.
But it's also me. I put myself in that position. Yeah. I knew. I was the one that knew that I was coming.
Right.
You know, so those times when we did do things over the phone, I remember it was like a week before we went.
Yeah,
and literally. I was like, this was not the best thing to do before going over there, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just as much me. But for say, it's like when you called Craig that day, I was like, this is so embarrassing. I didn't even meet Craig.
Well, I needed to because I knew that if I let you go out of the room, you would never come back. Yeah, you would have literally gone.
It was
on a flight.
The best thing you could have done, it was hard.
I was like, I need to get Craig on the phone, man, because and so he was basically, you know, walked us through everything. And we, if I'm not mistaken, we were pretty good the rest of the weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
We were good the rest of the weekend. Yeah. The only thing was I stayed an extra night because I didn't want to leave. We're like crying.
Let me just
stay one more night.
And then you didn't book an extra room for the hotel. So you stayed in my room. And then I went to go sleep in the opposite room and you came over. Can you cuddle me? And such. I'm like the same thing that has been in our marriage. You all can give me the cuddles. Can you cuddle me? And such.
I love to cuddle. I mean, what woman doesn't love to cuddle?
But fortunately, that night we didn't do anything. Still, we should not have put ourselves in that situation, even though if it was like another $100 a night.
Exactly.
That's,
don't put yourself
that
in
price
that situation.
Is better to pay than the price of, you know, compromising and compromising your integrity and your morality and things of that nature. But then, like, going forward, I mean, we still weren't perfect going from there. But I think one of the main things that was different for us is, like, we always had the heart to want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. We didn't always do the right thing. And quite frankly, we should have done a lot better with being disciplined in that. But it's like at the same time, every time that we do something, we'd always make a point of repenting. And we did progressively get better. We had
all the time we got better.
We definitely got better, especially towards the end. Right? Like maybe
when I moved here, we got significantly better.
Yeah. Well, we still mess up from time to time. But we still never had sex, which I'm super grateful for. We also never we made a point of just like getting on our knees repenting every time.
Like, I remember that day, like in my room, I'm like, come to my room, you know. Gosh, we just read the word. The thing is like, our heart was always there. Like, we'd go open like to read the Bible, to read the word, what does the Lord say? And like, even when we were remotely just like sitting there and then something were to happen, we just stop. We're like, no, we can't. And like, we need to get on our knees right now and pray.
Yeah.
And just humble ourselves upon the Lord, you know? And he honors that, like, he knows
before the Lord.
And sorry. And he knows our hearts, and he knows like what we're wanting. And if you mess up and maybe you do have sex, right? Maybe there's one, you just slip. It doesn't mean, and you have that conviction in your heart. It does not mean that, okay, since I just messed up, it's okay. I'm done now. I can go have sex again tomorrow.
Let's go ahead and do it. We've already messed up. We're already here. Go ahead and keep going down further and further. No, that's not
honorable, because especially if you are a Christian and you know what you're supposed to be doing, because that is worse to God than a someone who doesn't know the Lord and they don't know the ways.
Because they don't know any better. Right?
Exactly. So it's just saying, now that you know, even if you're hearing this, now you know, if you want to read the word, you know, it'll verify that. But we're not called to have sex before marriage. That's not what we're called to do. And I don't care what your friends say. I had friends, I won't even go into it like that, but my very good friends like say to me, like, I think you should live with him before you get married. I really think that you like need to have sex with him. Like, what if you don't like it? You know what I came to realize, the more and more they told me that, it was just like, you know what? I don't have to trust in his way of having sex, or I don't have to trust in the way of the size of, you know, like, but I have to trust in who I'm going to trust is the Lord, right? That the Lord has my best interest in heart. And I know that this is aligned with God's will, because everything is happening with our hearts set on him. There was never a time in our relationship where we strayed away from God. Right. Like, every time we lean in more to God. And so there's no excuse. Like, I'm sorry, but there is no excuse to go and mess around and then saying, okay, that's okay, I'm going to keep doing it now because that happened. There's no excuse. No, that's not the way it works. Right. I'm sorry. So even if you're influenced by different people, or you're seeing like the worldly things go on, and you see maybe even your friend's relationship work and it's worldly, like, that's fine. But God honors a marriage that's set upon, like, he with him in first place. He honors that forever and ever. Yeah. Yes. And your marriage bed will be great. And you know what? It's just so many things that I want to say right now, but I'm not, because it gets me so angry, because I walk through that. Especially before moving here, I had so much backlash. Like, you're going to move your whole life for someone you just met like 4 months ago, 3 months ago. Like, you're going to move everything you've ever known. And that was so hard for me to do in the first place. But I knew that I wanted to be so obedient to the Lord that it didn't matter where he had me, as long as I was being obedient to his will. So don't let the influence of others or the worldly things or, you know, influence you to continue doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. No, 100%. And like, I think it is ironic whenever, I mean, I think what it comes down to, people don't know the word, and if they, God, Jesus might be their savior, but he's not their Lord. And if he's not their Lord, then they're not going to have his precepts, his wisdom, his knowledge, his guidelines as forefront and as the, I guess, compass or, you know, guideline for their, for their life. And if that's the case, then of course you're not going to care. Like, well, I've already messed up, I'm going to keep going. Like, no, like, if you're going to, if I'm driving from here to, like, for instance, I do lots of weddings and I officiate several, you know, lots of weddings, you know, every year. I think between this year and next, we have over 50 weddings and such, you know, rock and rolling, qualified covenant, let's go. But like, if I'm heading to a wedding and I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it's going to happen. Let's go. But if I'm heading to a wedding though, and I miss my exit, I don't just go like, all right, well, you know, hey, I missed my exit. Let's just go ahead and keep driving, you know, this way and just see where it leads me. No. I look what? I look at my GPS and it reroutes me and I get right back on the path. To why? Because I know where my destination is. I know where I'm supposed to be on. I know I'm supposed to be on this path and not deviating from it and, you know, any left or right or back or forward, whatever. I'm supposed to be going the way the map is leading me. Why? Because I have a destination to get to and there's guidelines and stipulations that I need to follow in order to get there. Now, I can take different paths to get there, but it's still going to be the same. It's still going to be the same destination. So in life, we're going to have different things that come up that might, you know, take us one way or take us another way because of our own decisions and things that happen in life. But at the same time, if we're focused on the Lord, we're keeping him first place, we're going to still get to the destination that God has for us and live the qualified life that God has created us to live. And so, but I agree, it is very frustrating whenever you hear people like, well, you know, you've already done this, you've already done that, might as well keep doing it. It's like, no, it's not the case. Like Romans 12:1 says we're supposed to be set apart for the purpose of righteousness. Our bodies are supposed to be. We're supposed to, you know, Romans 12:2, you know, we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be, you might be in the world, but you're not supposed to be of the world, right? We're supposed to be set apart. You know, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of Christ in everything we do. If, you know, Ephesians 5:3 and then Thessalonians 4:3 as well talks about have nothing to do with sexual morality. Don't even let it be hinted at as among you and such. And like there's other verses that even go on to say it's like, whenever people accuse you of something wrong, they should have to lie about you in order to that. Because why? Because you're not living that way. You're supposed to be living different. You're supposed to be an ambassador of Christ and such. Like I remember, and there was a conversation I told you I had with a girl years ago who was, you know, married before, ended up unfortunately got divorced, and then was going to remarry a different guy. She's like, well, I've already had sex, I've already had kids, so we're just going to sleep together. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. And like I was lovingly just like telling her, like, no, like that doesn't give you a pass. Because oh well, just because you've had sex before, you can go ahead and do it. No, just because you've been married before and all this doesn't give you the right to do that. If God is still God and he is still your Lord, then you still have things that you're supposed to obey. And it's like, and again, it's not to steal our fun. It's not to, because God's a prude. It's not anything like that. It's because it will set you up for success. There was the last episode, I forgot, but the statistics, but literally the divorce rate of couples that wait to have sex until they get married is 5%. That means you have a 95% chance of success in your marriage alone if you choose to wait until you get married to have sex. Now, obviously, that's not a one size fits all thing where that if you wait and say, you know, wait till marriage and such to have sex, you're not just going to, your whole life is going to be great. Because guess what, too? If your only thing in your relationship is sex, like ladies, if your only thing that you get the guy for is sex, or guys, it's your only thing you're looking for is, you know, hey, if she's great in the sack and such, bro, like you're gonna get divorced. Like, I mean, I know just speaking for you and I, it's like we have sex pretty regularly. I mean, there's sometimes where things happen or you've had some health, you know, things that come up or whatever, and we haven't had sex and then we get right back and do the business.
And you never like condemn me for that. Like, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
But it's just like, you know, it's okay. But I was so used to in the beginning, especially with the health things going on, like I can't do those things, but like you're so understanding. But in my mind, I'm like, do you still love me? Like, are you like looking at anything?
Which of course in those moments, fellas, is to reassure your wife that no, I still love you. You're so beautiful. I'm still attractive. Make sure you're touching on her. Make sure you're still loving on her. All those kind of things.
Because little sticky notes and just knowing that you're thinking of me.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
So you did a great job.
But it's like I bring that up to say it's like there's so much more that goes on in our relationship than sex. And if like your only thing, your only perceived value of a relationship is to have a sex partner, bro, that's the wrong reason to get married. And you're going to get divorced. And if you don't get divorced, you're going to have a miserable relationship. And Because also, you got to think of what could happen too. Like, what if they get sick and they're not able to have sex? Like, how we just mentioned, what if they have some health issues? What if they get paralyzed and they're no longer able to? What if they something happens and they're now mentally, you know, in a vegetable state and they're not able to and such? I mean, it's like, whenever you sign up for better or worse, richer or poorer, you got to mean that. And you got to realize those stipulations that follow with a marriage covenant. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. Contracts can be broken. Covenants are lifelong. And so it's like, you got to realize that there's far more to a marriage than just sex. And if sex is your only thing that you're thinking of value and like, oh, I can just have sex all the time. Like, bro, like that's not the truth. Like, I remember thinking that. I remember thinking that when I was younger. And, you know, maybe even like, you know, a year or two ago before, but even, you know, months leading up before we got married, I'm like, oh, we're gonna have sex all the time. And, you know, we have our spurts. We go for, you know, having, you know, sometimes two, you know, two or three times a day and such. And it's great. But at the same time, it's like, there's been times whenever, you know, we get busy or whatever have you. And like, you know, or something happens where one of us isn't feeling the greatest or is tired or whatever happened, it doesn't happen. But then we make a point of doing it as well because, you know, it's also important to keep us, you know, for us as well to have a great relationship, a great marriage as well. So it's important, but it's not everything is the main thing.
And I want to add, like, intimacy doesn't always have to be in the bedroom.
No, absolutely.
You know,
not.
It's just like going out for a walk. I know with me before I got like very sensitive to caffeine. It was like a cup of coffee, you know, like just the sticky notes that you leave me. Just hugging me and dancing with me around the house because, you know, I like to dance around the house and like you do
giving
those
you a
things.
Back rub.
Yeah, like doing those things.
Rubbing
that's
your feet, those
intimate.
Kind of
that to me sometimes is more intimate than doing the business.
Yeah.
You know? it is. And so it's just when people give you advice and when people tell you things or they shame you for wanting to save yourself for marriage, like take a look at who's giving you the advice. Like, make sure you're taking advice from, like, the right person.
Consider the source. Looking at their life, would you want anything in their life? If you know, if you lived your life in the way they lived their life, would you like that or would you not like that? Like, and also, consider the source too, but also, even if they're not a Christian or even if they are, revert back to what the word says. If you're living your life in accordance to what God is already saying in his word, then you're doing a great job. If any bozo has anything to say about that, it's like, well, hey, lovingly say, hey, thank you for your input, but I'm good, you know, and just, you're okay. I'm a bit like, as you were talking, it made me think about something. Like, every person that I've talked to that has been a virgin whenever they got married or whatever happened, I mean, there's only a few people that I can think of, but like every person that I've met that still has their virginity or waited to have, you know, have sex till they got married or whatever have you, the response that they always receive from people is like, wow, good for you. People are always admirable. It's an admirable virtue, but people, there we go. This is the right word to say. People always admire that level of discipline in someone because it's like, it's not very common. So if you're in that boat where you're number one, maybe you've already had sex and you're, you know, you're wanting to get back on it and save that for your husband or for your wife, then great, bro, do that. And don't buy into the lie of the enemy or your doofus friends. If your friends or family are trying to pressure you into that, obviously you can't get new family, but if your friends are doing that, bro, like just tell them, like, dude, like, I don't care what you have to say, like, lovingly, or better yet, get new friends. Because if your friends are trying to pressure you into doing something that you've already communicated why you're not doing it, your values behind it, and just the fact that you want to be disciplined to do that, if they're not respectful of that, have them go fly a kite, dude. Like, I was thinking blow it out there, but that's what I was gonna think about.
Can I add something in right there?
Go ahead.
Like, don't manipulate the word to suit what your friends are saying or to suit this narrative that you have. Like, okay, it's okay if I do this. Like, God is gonna forgive me. And like, I don't think I remember reading this in the Bible. I think I can do this because it didn't exactly say that in the word. You know, I don't recall it saying that. So the word is a word, it doesn't change. Is there today, tomorrow, decades ago? Like, it's the same. You can't change it to fit your needs. So I'm sorry, like, that was all I had to say.
No, that was deep. But no, you're right. You can't force the word to basically, you know, conform to your life. No, as you get in the word and you become more like God, God, you know, changes you to become more like him. It's not the other way around. You don't then focus. You don't then, you know, try to manipulate the word to fit your life. You have the word changes your life from the inside out is how it is. So, yeah, that was a great point.
I agree. So I think just like wrapping this up, because I don't know how long we've gone.
No, I think that was about it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think just, you know, if you're in that boat, in that stage of life where you're just like, man, you know, I've already had sex. I'm not married yet. I'm still dating. Like, I would just like encourage you to like get in the word and like find a group, go to church, get baptized and like renew yourself. You're going to feel so refreshed. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy because things came against me once I got baptized. And the way I wanted to cleanse my body, and in the last podcast, you know, you saw how I got manipulated. But because I was standing strong in the word, I realized those things at those times. You know, I was very like aware. So get in the word, and like, I'm telling you, it's so worth it. It is so worth it to just renew yourself. And the Lord honors that, and he will provide for you. And just a little side note before we ended, like, you know, when I moved here, I could have easily just moved in like together. We could have easily moved in together, but I moved into one of his old friends of yours place, and I was so lonely. I was honestly really depressed, and I wanted to come back home, but the Lord, I paid like $150 a month for that place. It was a huge blessing.
It was a blessing. It got you here. Yeah.
That got me here.
100%.
But like, it's not an excuse to say, oh, we don't have enough finances, so we have to move in together. Like, that, there's just no excuse. God always provides. Do it his way, and he will show, you're going to see him show up.
He'll honor that.
So just stay the course and like, don't follow the ways of the world.
Yeah, no, 100%. I can definitely, you know, relate to that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember in the months leading up before I met you, it's like, as I was dedicating my life to, you know, just remaining pure, to, you know, just seeking after the Lord and, you know, just delighting myself in the Lord and all that kind of jazz, seeking that first the kingdom. It's like, as God was renewing my mind, he was also, you know, helping me, you know, gain more, which obviously, like we already talked about, we didn't do everything perfect, but our heart was always turned towards the Lord. And even whenever we'd, you know, have a conversation or something, we'd always pray like, God, if this is not the right thing, then, you know, please give us, yeah, your will be done. Like, you know, give us both conviction. If it's not the right thing, then we'll both have conviction on that. But if it's not, you know, our relationship's not the right thing, then hey, let it in sooner than later. And, you know, obviously, like we already talked about, we could have done things a lot better. And I wish we had. And at the same time, I remember someone talking about their, you know, if you're a parent and you're telling your kids to, you know, to not do the things that you did when you were younger, isn't that a bit hypocritical? I'm like, no, it's not. I said, it's not hypocritical at all, because I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I did. I want them to be better than I am. I want them to be better than you are. I want them to far surpass how they live, you know, how I live my life. I want them to live a life that's higher, and that's a better calling. So like, don't beat yourself up. Please don't hear a judgmental heart behind anything that we're saying. Please don't beat yourself up.
Because I mean, we've been like,
because we've
not
been
judging at all. Like it may on the other side to someone who doesn't know the word, or someone who, you know, that's the last thing I want is to feel judged and condemned, because that's not what it's called to be. It's just trying to push you to be the best version of yourself, right? And to be the best wife, the best husband that you could be, the best father, the best mother that you can be. And it's just like setting boundaries, and it's the discipline.
Self-discipline forever pays. And you're never going to have, in my humble yet accurate opinion, you're never going to regret not saving yourself. Or you're never going to regret, I should say, saving yourself. You're never going to regret making those decisions to refrain from that, and putting your energies into other things that are more productive for you as well. I know that there's so many things that I, you know, that at the time regretted. I don't regret anymore, because I'm like, it helped me become the man I am today. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, things that I wish I would have done differently that would have helped propel my life faster, further. But then again, at the same time, like, God, you know, allowed me to walk through that because it was a lesson I needed to learn. I could have learned it the easy way by not doing it. So like, our heart behind this is just to help. Our heart behind this is like, dude,
you
I don't
can
want
see
you to
we're not perfect.
Yeah,
throughout
no, not
all
at
both
all.
Stories. Someone who came from a Christian household and, you know, someone who didn't even know the Lord, you know?
Right.
So
I just want to help, man. I just want to help you live a better life, help you become the man or woman that God created you to be.
Yeah, because you can do it.
100%.
Totally.
It's totally possible. And I hope that your story is one that, you know, makes our story look stupid, because you did it so much better than ours.
Oh, yeah. And we would love to hear it. Like,
100%.
Please.
100%. Yes. And actually, if you're welcome, there's an email that you're welcome to write into, or you feel free to follow us on Instagram too. There's an email for the Qualified Podcast. I think it's just thequalifiedpodcast@gmail.com. There's a link for that in the show notes too.
Okay, we'll have to post that.
But anyways, but other than that, that's a basically
that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
We need a new intro though, because I sounded so like Tiffany Huff.
You didn't need a new intro. You had plenty of good energy, Miyamoto.
You think so?
I think so. Okay. Sounded super cute. It's like the old days. No. Remember you'd say that? Fun fact, Hermosa used to have this little twang that she used to say with her stuff.
She's have a twang.
You still have a kind of a little bit of a country twang in some words that you say. Not all the time.
Not even country.
Well, your mom agrees with that. Mike agrees with that. And Tata agrees with that. So I would think those people know you pretty well to agree that some words that you say have a bit of a twang.
I think it's just inflections of my voice, because... Yeah, it's just the inflections in my voice. He'll go around, oh, there she goes again.
I'm not saying you do that. I'm not country
just because I live in Texas.
Oh, yeehaw. Some words you do. There was a thing you used to do where you're like, no, it's not true. And like, there was this little like thing that you were doing. I remember,
then I stopped doing that. Well, that's my voice.
I just playfully made fun of you for it, and then you stopped doing it.
When we first started dating, because I felt so insecure.
I wanted to come back, because that's one of my, it's a super cute thing that you do.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I can't come
return.
Back. Now.
A triumphant return.
You made it gone. You ran away.
Well, come on back now. Come on back. Well, y'all, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the episode. Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share it out with at least one person. Let them know that you got value out of it. And if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're leaving. And but beyond that was basically it. Anything you wanted to add anymore?
Merry Christmas. We're going to be going to Tampa, Florida on Sunday.
Tampa, Florida.
I'm so excited. So I hope you all have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. We'll be posting every Thursday, so stay tuned.
We need to record a podcast for a week.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. I'll be done. All right. Well, guys, yes, just like she said, Merry Christmas to you guys. I hope you all have an incredible Christmas holiday. And travel safe and make great decisions. And what else? I think that's about it. Y'all, we'll talk to you next time. Until then, chase your potential and live a life that makes a positive impact. Become the man or woman that you were created to become, because you're qualified for more. So never settle for less. We'll talk to you soon, guys.
Oh, you want to say bye? Bye.
Yeah, yeah. 8 what's going on, Qualified Family? Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I trust you enjoyed the message. You know, with the Qualified brand, our mission is to empower you to chase your potential and live a life that makes a positive impact. You know, ultimately the life that you are qualified to live. You know, but it's not about just being qualified on our own. It's about the fact that God has created us with innate value and divine purpose to live for something bigger than ourselves. You know, a life ultimately that is fulfilling and brings glory and honor to Him. You know, so whether you've never had the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you were like me, you know, and you fell away, fell away from your faith and kind of did your own thing, I want to encourage you with this. And that is that Jesus still loves you and wants, desires a relationship with you so badly as well. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, it doesn't matter how messed up your past is, it doesn't matter how many times you've missed the mark, it doesn't how many times you thought you were going to go one way and you went the other way as well. Your purpose still stands. Not only that, regardless of your past, the love of Christ for you still stands as well. You know, and that's the amazing thing, dude. I mean, I've made a point of sharing how crazy my past has been and how many times I messed up. And here's the thing, God is the God of second chances. And not only second, but third, fourth, fifth, infinitely amount of chances, man. He just wants that relationship with you. So would you pray this prayer with me? Just repeat the following. Just say, Father God, thank you for the amazing work your son Jesus did by dying on the cross and raising again, forever making me righteous, complete, and free from the power of sin. I confess that Jesus is Lord of my life, repent of and ask forgiveness for my sins, and fully surrender my life to you. Use me to make your kingdom great. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, I am so dang excited for the decision that you just made, and I gotta tell you this as well. It says in Luke 15, verse 10 in the Amplified translation, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what does that mean? Dude, right now, there's a dang party going on in heaven, bro. Like, everyone's going crazy. They're like, hey,
This girl, this guy just gave their life to Christ and made the best decision of their life. So seriously, I'm super happy for you and excited for that decision you made. So two things. Number one, I got to tell you, you got to recommend that you need to get a Bible and start reading the New Testament, reading about the life of Christ as well. So whether you download the Bible app off the iTunes store or, you know, for Android, and start reading it there, or, you know, definitely recommend either the Amplified Translation or the New Living Translation or even the New King James Translation as well. Or if you get a physical Bible as well and start reading, that's great. But just make sure you start reading and you're reading the New Testament, learn about the life of Christ and go from there and start growing that in that relationship and spending time with Him. Second of all, there's a special page that I made specifically for this as well on Qualified Pearl's website. That link for that is down below in the description. And it just takes you to some resources that I highly recommend that you get. Books that I've read, with the exception of one, there's one called, Disciplines of a Godly Woman. Clearly haven't read that one, but the other ones I highly recommend, and they're super powerful. This, some great resources that'll help you grow, help you improve, and just go deeper in your relationship with Christ as well. So, dude, so happy for you. And if you need anything, definitely feel free to reach out, thequalifiedpodcast@gmail.com. Happy to answer any questions that you have. Y'all, have an amazing day. Until next time, chase your potential and live a life that makes a positive impact. We'll talk to you soon.